Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to look today, this is going to kind of be a two-parter. We're going to look at the foundation of the church. We are members of the church. We are participants of it. This congregation is just one. The Lord's church is meeting worldwide today, all over the world, and we here at South Valley are one of those congregations of the church. But we're going to look at the foundation of the church today. Our scripture reading that Don had was taken from Matthew, the 16th chapter. This was the setting was in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked his followers, you know, who do people say that I am? And they said, you know, some say John the Baptist. So, you know, some people thought John the Baptist had come back to life. And that maybe Jesus was him. You know, Elijah, one of the prophets. And then he says in verse 16, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? You know, we know what other people are saying, but who do you say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that rock of confession of what he just said, that you are the Christ, that is the foundation. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We've had sermons on this verse before, but we're going to look at this foundation. Now, the cornerstone, we know Jesus is the cornerstone. Cornerstones are important. They are important architecturally because everything goes off of that cornerstone. You get the cornerstone out of whack, the whole building is going to be out of whack. You've got to have that level. You've got to have that at the proper angles, because everything is based on that one stone. It is important architecturally, but it is important symbolically also, that what that cornerstone is, who the cornerstone is, who laid it. You know, you know, I'm a history teacher and big history buff. You know, George Washington laid the cornerstone for the White House. He's the only president that we have that never lived in the White House, because it was being built while he was president. But he laid the cornerstone. And it was important architecturally because the whole building was based on that stone. But also symbolically, it was important that every president, every leader of our country after Washington looked back at him as kind of a standard. You know, what did President Washington do in this situation? What would he have done? Things like that. And it is symbolically, and we know that the cornerstone of the church, not this building. I don't know where the corner foundation of the building is. Who cares? It's not this building. The cornerstone of the church is Jesus. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus wouldn't have been the first choice by a lot of the people, not a lot of the religious leaders on the scene at the time. They would have rejected him. He's not of the scribes or of the Pharisees or not. He would have been rejected. But he is the cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul wrote, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is the foundation of the church. Jesus says, "I will build my church." It's his. It's his church. You look at the many congregations that Paul established. It wasn't Paul's church. It was the Lord's church. In Acts 4, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There are a lot of religious bodies out there, many of which were started by man. Most of which have been started by man. Whether it be a religion, whether it be a cult or whatever, the church, the Lord's church, Jesus was the builder and the chief cornerstone. We need to look at the pillars, because on that foundation, the church was built. And one of the main foundations is faith. Without faith, you have no church. Without faith, there is no church at all. In Hebrews 11, and then we kind of think of Hebrews 11 as that faith chapter. And it starts out in verse 1. Now faith, it gives a kind of a definition of what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We have faith that God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible starts out. The first verses of Genesis is of creation and that God did. None of us were around to see it. We didn't witness it, but we see the evidence of it. And we have our faith in that. And then skipping over a couple of verses into verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." You can't do it without faith. Starting in October, and I'm looking forward to this, Dick is going to be doing a Sunday morning class based on faith. The topic's going to be faith. And I'm looking forward to that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. No one becomes a Christian without first believing in God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And John 8:24, this is a scripture that we often use, not on this one, but in a lot of our outlines, part of the plan of salvation. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Not believe that he is Jesus. Of course you're Jesus. You're Joseph and Mary's son. We know that. Not that we believe that you are the man, Jesus. That we believe that you're the Son of God. And that's what it takes us back to that first proclamation of Peter. Back in you know, our scripture reading, that on this rock I will build my church. The rock that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. Because if we don't believe that, nothing else matters. If we don't believe that, first of all, there is no church. Because we are the church. We're going to end here. I was going to go to the next one about sound doctrine. We're going to pick up sound doctrine next week. We're going to put that as part two. I was going to have one and two today, but we'll do two, three, and four next week. We're just about out of time, and I don't want to rush it. We never want to end an assembly without offering an invitation. There may be some of you out in the crowd today that haven't put the Lord on in baptism. You might have heard the Word of God. You might believe in God. Without faith of that, you're not going to be pleasing to God. We've already covered that. You need to put your Lord on in baptism. You need to not only believe, you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess Him like Peter did. You need to put Him on in baptism. And then that's the beginning of your Christian walk. Because then you've got to remain faithful all the days of your life. If you haven't done that, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if there is sin in your life keeping you from fully serving God and being pleasing to God, you need to take care of that. Whatever your need, if you will come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation, we will address those needs. I'd like to, especially the visitors, if you're able, come back next week and see the end of the story. See the end of the story. We got to see how this church gets built. So anyway, if you would, let's stand and sing.